Looks like we get to make fun of the British again. Because the Kate Middleton conspiracy theories have reached unprecedented heights after weeks of speculation about the Princess of Wales, her health, and where she's been hiding after receiving what the royal family disclosed as planned abdominal surgery in mid-January. We've been able to ignore the more insane rumors since then because, honestly, who cares?
Yeah, this is, I'm just like, I don't know, something's happening over there. But the more I stumble upon, the more I'm like, God damn it, we're gonna have to talk about the British royal family.
Yeah, at first aren't it's we? Like, okay, ugh. Yeah, they're being discreet about a medical issue. And then King Charles, he's got the cancer at around the same time. And yeah, and then, you know, further down the line, things did start being pretty suspicious.
To put this in words the British will understand, the royal family doth protest too much.
Yeah, so. Honestly, really, who cares? It's the royal family. They're always up to some very weird shit. But also, Occam's razor, it's totally believable that someone would want privacy and recovery time after what appears to have been an invasive surgery. But now, everything has changed because this went from standard rumor mill tabloid hypothesizing to straight-up conspiracy time, thanks to an image shared by the royal family in honor of Mother's Day in the UK, which appeared to show the princess along with their children. Upon closer inspection, though, it is abundantly clear that the photo has been manipulated, which is an insane thing to do if rumors are already flying about the health and well-being of one Kate Middleton.
Yeah, so we'll get to the entire timeline of this and all the bizarre conspiracies in a second. But for now, let's focus on the clearly altered image that brought this whole saga to insane new levels, the level at which we have to address it.
Yes, this is big news.
Because, yeah, this Photoshop job is very bad. It was so bad that news agencies, from Reuters to the Associated Press, issued a rare kill notification on the image, which instructed all relevant clients to stop using that photograph because it had clearly been manipulated. For example, the AP's notification read, "At closer inspection, it appears that the source has manipulated the image. No replacement photo will be sent. Please remove it from all platforms, including social, where it may still be visible." So it's wild that it ran at all in the first place, mm-hmm. especially considering how meticulous people are about every photo online with the rise of AI image generation, but particularly photos of the royal family, especially the member of the royal family that no one's seen in a couple months.
Yeah.
But yeah, it should have been obvious that people were going to go over this photo in particular with a very fine tooth comb because of all the rumors that had already been circulating about Kate Middleton's whereabouts.
Yeah. Well, no, this should quiet everyone down. Look, there she is, happy as ever with all those kids. Those kids whose names I'm sure no one knows.
George. I know the boy is named George.
Sure. Well, this photo doesn't fall directly into the category of AI image generation. It just seems to have been heavily altered in image editing software like Photoshop. Also, it should be noted that the royal family claimed that William is not in the photograph because he was the one who took it, quote, on an iPhone. And that fact seemed to have also been debunked because based on the photo's metadata, it was taken on a DSLR. Mm. There's a lot of deep digging that's going into this, and some of it we just can't cover because people are insane and they're going to depths that would take all day.
William was there. He was just behind the camera, I guess.
Yeah, snapping the photo of his lovely family.
He wasn't with his side piece.
No, I can't put it on a tripod and a timer. That would be ridiculous.
We're just normal folks, us royals.
Yes, just innocent folks. But we digress. As many have pointed out by this point, there are multiple clear signs of manipulation, and here are some of the most prominent ones. She's not wearing a wedding ring. Her daughter's sleeve is clearly altered and is clipping through parts of the skirt, which seems like improper use of the stamp/cloning tool. Her left hand is blurry despite the rest of the kid's sweater being in focus around it. That same sweater has an area that's doubled up on the stitching, which resembles the use of the Content Aware tool, and some of the hair next to her daughter appears to be vanishing in odd places. There are a few other things that people have pointed out, like the paint on the window frames and stuff like that. But sometimes people just improperly use painter's tape in real life. This isn't proof that...
I was freaked out by the one kid's fingers.
Yeah.
But turns out there are people out there that can do that with their fingers. Not me. I certainly cannot. I tried.
Kids are made of rubber. One of the biggest issues seems to be that her face doesn't resemble the recent paparazzi photo that shows her in the passenger seat of a car being driven by her mom. some internet sleuths seem to be pretty damn sure that the face was taken from a Vogue magazine shoot from last year, and they've superimposed the magazine cover onto the face of the Mother's Day photo, and yeah, they do look identical. But I mean, okay, when you pose as much as Kate Middleton, there's gonna be resemblances. It's hard to say that this wasn't exactly stolen because people have done like the AB, they put it over it and done the opacity change.
Also, on the more conspiratorial side of things, all the kids are crossing their fingers, all of them. Obviously, the kid on the left is crossing his fingers, but technically the other two kids are crossing theirs as well.
Yeah, which people are reading into that
a lot.
Is
this a cry for help? What is this?
It's clear the one kid, as you already mentioned, it's weird looking, but the other ones, all of them are crossing in different ways. And there's no shortage of people who are taking everything out of that.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, some people are trying to say that the one kid's fingers resemble AI generation, but it's not an impossible finger position for a kid with soft bones, soft bendy bones.
And especially they can't stop fidgeting around.
Yeah, kids are always up to something.
Yeah.
Also, sorry for just saying that kid over and over again. We don't know these kids' names. I know one of them is George, but don't know which one.
No.
We'll be damned if we're going to start learning them now.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-uh. We talk about the Royals once, twice a year. We
and
get in.
Usually when they die or something.
We get in. We exfiltrate.
Yes.
Still, the royal family couldn't deny the accusations made by people online. And once news agencies started removing the photo from circulation, they were basically forced to put out a statement. And what a statement it was! Directly from the princess herself, who apparently finds time to mess around on Photoshop because she's such a digital photography enthusiast.
The Princess of Wales has a Creative Cloud membership.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Hey, women aren't allowed to have hobbies?
I'm collaging digitally.
So here's the statement, which is legitimately suspicious, all on its own.
Like many amateur photographers, I do occasionally experiment with editing. I wanted to express my apologies for any confusion the family photograph we shared yesterday caused. I hope everyone celebrating had a very happy Mother's Day. C. C is for Catherine, her full name. Okay, first off, no fucking way. Second, as we said earlier, the royal family previously claimed that Prince William was the photographer.
Which isn't.
But now we're just splitting hairs because the base reality is that this whole thing is just really fucking weird. What is going on? If it was something simple, why not just be honest about it?
Yeah, where is she? Is this a Shelley Miscavige thing they're doing over there in the British royal family?
The other thing is like if historically the royal family wasn't so fucking weird all the time,
yeah,
this would be explained away easier. So in addition to the statement, which claims to have been written by the princess herself, the royal family also allowed a photograph of the princess to be released. This one was a paparazzi photo in which her face is almost completely obscured.
Yep, there she is. That's the princess.
And this is somehow important to point out because, according to British weirdos, the royal family is typically somewhat in control of what the press can release. And they tried to stop the image of her with her mom from going around a few days back. They basically wouldn't let any of the tabloids run that photo.
Hmm.
Anyways, they were fine with this one. They were like, hey, get it out there. She is alive and
proof
well.
Proof of life. Should we have her hold up to today's newspaper? No.
No.
Not yet.
That would be ridiculous. So we're obviously going into way too much detail here, but it is weird. It's very weird,
it's
right?
It's weird in a way where I still can't bring myself to care all that much about it, but listen, as much as I think the royal just monarchy in general is stupid, it is fascinating in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Especially the way that it still manages to persist in the current year. But also seems to clearly be on the decline with the death of the queen and the possible imminent death of the new king, and then the generation below that being fractured in so many ways.
Yeah. It's fascinating. It's like they're operating under the standards of 100 years ago without the internet existing or anyone being suspicious about anything they do. And then you have the conspiracy theories about Diana, and
one of these royals, I'd institute like some Muslim logic and have it be like any photograph of me, the king, is actually, you have false idols.
Yes.
So there will be no photographs. Mm-hmm. You can't even look at me. Yeah. When I am in your presence, you avert your eyes.
No, instead they're gonna have her walking down that Coronation Street or whatever, between the palace and the... They're going to do something. They're going to parade her around. But it is kind of cool that we finally have another conspiracy theory that has nothing to do with Americans for once.
Yeah. I mean, I hope nothing terrible has happened
here. Yeah, obviously.
But also, the stakes here, relatively low when it comes to conspiracy theories. No one's claiming a bunch of murdered children or crisis actors or anything horrible like that.
No.
This is just like...
The princess is missing.
Hey, the princess that they got their prince to marry so that young people would still be interested in this fucking bullshit system we have here is suddenly MIA.
Yeah.
And that is... Interesting.
At the very least, it has caused a bunch of very online people to go very insane.
Yeah.
Which is always fun.
Those royal watchers. Mm-hmm. What? I mean, listen, it's got to be a very exciting life for these people who
especially
wake up every morning like just with a dedication to checking in on the British royal family.
Especially in recent years. It's just scandal after scandal and death after death.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of those conspiracies... Those didn't just start this weekend. They've been kicking up for at least the past 2 months since it was announced that the princess was going in for planned abdominal surgery. So let's look at the timeline first via Time Magazine and then get into the most prominent conspiracy theories. December 25th, Christmas Day marks Kate's last public appearance. She is seen leaving church services at Sandringham, the family's country residence north of London. January 17th, Kensington Palace announces that Kate underwent a planned abdominal surgery and will be hospitalized for 10 to 14 days. January 29th, following a nearly two-week hospital stay, Kensington Palace shares that Kate will return home to Windsor Castle to continue her recovery. She is making good progress, Kensington Palace said in a statement.
March 4th, Kate is photographed in the passenger seat of a car alongside her mother, Carol Middleton, as the two drive near Windsor Castle, according to images published by TMZ. The photo is not released or authorized by Kensington Palace, but marks the first time the Princess of Wales had been seen publicly since December. No major UK outlet publishes the photo. Royals reporter Emily Andrews claims in a post on X that Kensington Palace, quote, exerted huge pressure on the British media not to publish the pic. March 5th, the British Army posts and removes its claim that the Princess of Wales will be attending their annual Trooping the Colour event on June 8th, leading to further speculation about Kate's health. March 10th, in honor of Mother's Day in the UK, Kensington Palace shares a photo of Kate and her children, which the palace says was taken by her husband earlier in the week at Kensington Palace. Wishing everyone a happy Mother's Day, the caption said. By Sunday evening, multiple major news agencies, including AP and Reuters, pull the image from circulation due to apparent manipulation. March 11th, Kate issues an apology for sharing the edited image.
But now on to the conspiracy theories, yeah. And there are no shortage of those if you just type her name into the Twitter search bar. Some are believable, some are legitimately insane.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just gonna skim over some of the most prominent ones by going straight for the dregs and citing Page Six, who specializes in this kind of reporting.
Mm-hmm.
Some fans believe Middleton was hospitalized for a more serious issue than abdominal surgery. The palace hasn't released details about what the surgery treated, but Page Six was told that it was not cancerous. Some fans believe she went under the knife for cosmetic reasons. And then there's the marriage issues theory, which has been around for a little while now.
Mm-hmm.
Middleton, who has been married to William, 41, since 2011, was seen not wearing her wedding ring in her new Mother's Day photo. Fans noticed that Middleton's iconic diamond and sapphire heirloom, which once belonged to Princess Diana, was missing from that finger. When Kensington Palace was asked why she didn't have the sparkler on, they offered no comment, per Town & Country magazine. And, of course, the theory that she actually got a Brazilian butt lift that was somehow botched.
Yeah.
I don't find this very believable because they don't place much value on that body part over there.
No.
And also, like, that's Kim K got her BBL taken out. It's over.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Not plausible.
2024 and beyond is a boob decade.
It's the age of the boobs.
Yeah.
And you up yours, woke moralists. Woke is dead.
Mm-hmm.
As Middleton continues to keep a low profile from the public, social media users have speculated that she may have had some plastic surgery done, a Brazilian butt lift, also known as a BBL. Kate Middleton is sitting down in the new family photo because she's hiding that BBL, tweeted one person.
You would think that she wouldn't be able to sit on it. It probably hurt a little too much.
I don't know what the recovery
is. But that's how Kanye's mom died, right?
I don't know if it wasn't a BBL, but she was in for surgery for something cosmetic.
Yeah.
And there was, you know, it's...
There was issues.
Anytime you're going under anesthetic, there are risks, especially as you get older.
Regarding William and Kate's relationship issues, there are any number of theories about this as well. This is standard royal family drama that has happened since before your parents were born.
Yeah, and it runs in the family. These Windsors, they love fumbling a bad bitch for a dog.
So there's rumors from simply losing the spark to infidelity rumors all the way down to theories that the prince has taken her life and that she's been replaced
by... The princess?
Has been replaced by a body double.
Okay. I mean, that's pretty out there.
Yeah. Well, it's the internet and it's the royal family, so that's going to happen. So bizarre, but it's also, like I said, the royal family we're talking about here. The latest rumor or proof that William was having an affair seems to be that the royal family is inexplicably soft launching his new love interest right around the same time that all these rumors about Kate are going on.
Yeah.
And this is a woman named, and please forgive me.
There's a bunch of words here I've never heard in my life. In my 38 years on this earth, there are multiple words in this woman's title where I'm like,
nope.
Is that real?
His apparent new love interest, which they are allegedly soft launching, is a woman named Lady Rose Hanbury, the Marchioness of Cholmondeley.
That's not real. No.
The Marchioness of Cholmondeley sounds like a name that could be cleaned up with a dose of antibiotics.
Yeah. You're going to want to get that Cholmondeley look at.
Yeah. Honestly, we have no idea who this woman is, nor should we. Folks, I measure things by the foot. I have no idea what a marchioness or where the hell Cholmondeley is.
I don't want to know.
But people really, really seem to think that this lady is who Prince William is having an affair with. And a lot of the speculation seems to be coming from the fact that a British news organization just randomly did an in-depth profile on her amidst all these Kate rumors.
Yeah.
Like, why? Hey, for not apropos of nothing.
Yeah, just on why would I be expected to care who the Marchioness of Cholmondeley is? Come on.
Clear up in about a week or two with the right with some amoxicillin.
Maybe that's the disease that she has.
Yeah, that's
why it's Marchioness.
It runs in the family. That's they come from a long line of chlamydia havers. We don't know who she is. We don't care. What we do care about is that we want you, of course, the loyal viewer of this show.
Let's get the brains all working together.
Yes, we need a community to come together.
All you monkeys, start typing.
Yes. Post your most unhinged royal family conspiracy theories in the comments below. And this is a very democratic process. Whichever comment has the most upvotes is clearly the most accurate theory in reality.
So how about this? I'll start us off. So Prince Charles, or King Charles, sorry. Yes. Obviously.
The one with all the jewels.
Very sick. Yeah. The one with all the jewels. He is part of the bloodline. Kate is not part of the bloodline, and therefore of lesser importance. So perhaps they have the two of them strapped up into some sort of system where fluids are being exchanged.
Like
her blood and bile and all that good stuff going into Charles to keep him alive at her expense.
Yes, she's the blood bag that he carries around.
Yes, that's the secret contract you sign when you marry a royal, is that when push comes to shove and they need fluids, you're the blood bag.
Now, forget everything Elliot just said because he's putting his hand on the scale here. That you can't have that be the top commented thing, okay? Come up with your own theory.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. You can't have that one. That's mine.
Okay, that's his. But whoever has the top theory, that is what we're going to base our reality on going forward.
Yeah.
Yeah. No matter how crazy it is, just whatever the top
vote you decide.
Yeah, this is a very democratic process. You decide what is happening to the princess. Anyways, let's move back to the good old U.S.
Oh, thank
of A.
God. I'm on the plane just landed. Woo!
Well, when planes land here now, you should applaud.
You should, because, wow.
You actually did
You're
something.
Still alive.
Yeah, and we'll get to that. But we got to talk about our greatest export, movie stars.
Hollywood!
Da-na-na-na-na, Hollywood.
It's Hollywood.
We're getting a lot of mileage out of that.
It's great to just, you know, have a top hat just at arm's length.
Yeah.
You never know when you might need.
Some are saying that Kate Middleton was the person behind The Unknown.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting.
I did see a Photoshop that was going around with the unknown in the window. It's very subtle, but amazing. Anyways, back to the USA. Movie stars. Last night was the Academy Awards, and we will spare you the rundown of all the winners, but suffice to say, Oppenheimer and Poor Things were the big winners. Okay. But the biggest winner of all...
The biggest, just in terms of size.
...was clearly Godzilla, which took home an Oscar for Best Visual Effects. Rightfully so. And a Batman reunion on stage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, there were other highlights, like Messi the dog from the film Anatomy of a Fall, who got to sit in the crowd and enjoy the
Fake.
Show. It was pre-recorded, obviously, but the fact that it was pre-recorded allowed the funniest clip to happen, which is the dog clapping its paws.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. And it was clearly one of the most adorable moments in Oscar history. Get out of here, Ellen!
Bye, Ellen.
Yeah. Not to be outdone by the dog, though, another good boy made headlines by appearing completely naked on stage to give out the award for best costume design. Okay, yeah, get the whole, whoa, a floating envelope, or what are you talking about? I don't see anything. Get all those jokes out of the way, because we are, of course, talking about John Cena.
Da, 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 da.
Who appeared in the nude on stage during a bit about an infamous streaking incident. And it is quite incredible the lengths that Cena will go for comedy. He is now one of the best.
He is.
The man commits. And he looks like
You would never see Dwayne Johnson doing anything like that.
He would never do
that. No.
That's why John Cena is clearly the best new boy.
He is.
Yeah.
Having said all that, even though this aired on broadcast television, we still can't show the image or the clip because it will absolutely get flagged by YouTube's AI as full-fledged nudity. But you can obviously go see the image anywhere, and the lengths that ABC had to go to in order for this scene to actually play out are notable. Because, yeah, that's an almost entirely nude man up there.
Yeah.
And his muscles are so insane that it almost looks fake or definitely looks obscene.
Yeah.
To some degree.
Uh-huh.
Here's Variety with more on this stunt and how it made its way onto primetime broadcast TV on a network that is owned by Disney. His private parts were strategically covered so as not to run afoul of FCC standards. But the producers got away with a lot more than the network's legal team wanted. There was a lot of reticence of not just a fine from the FCC, but potential complaints, said Rob Mills, the executive VP of Unscripted and Alternative Entertainment at Walt Disney Television. At first, the S&P team said it had to be blatantly clear that Cena was not naked. But then the producers worked with the network to determine what they could get away with.
Quote, I'm going to educate you a little here, Mills says. A bulge cannot be showing, and you can't show crack. It was also, what happens if he drops that card? So we made sure that for all intents and purposes, he looked like a Ken doll up front. His crack was covered in the back, and then the envelope was Velcroed on there so it wouldn't fall. But beyond that, he was naked. McNerney says the producers wanted to keep the Cena bit a surprise, so they rehearsed it on a closed set. She also says the back and forth with the network's standards and practices was intense. They were sweating, she says of the S&P execs. I think at the end, we all got to a spot where we were comfortable, S&P was comfortable, and it didn't compromise the comedy a bit. I was very thankful that we didn't have to send him out there in tighty-whities, which I'm sure legal would have preferred. But yeah, I've seen we obviously can't show them again because it is... Just YouTube's algorithm would pick this up and say that it's nudity. But yes, he looks like a Ken doll. It is like he is wearing like a plastic shield.
Yeah.
But just on, like barely covering anything.
There's also, they did a costume change when they cut to the nominees and cut back to him. There's a behind the scenes video of like 10 people coming out and like surrounding him with a sheet and him like dropping down and like getting suited up all within like 10 seconds. And I'm just like, okay, he's wearing clothes now.
Incredible.
Yeah. Thanks. But speaking of things that are clean shaven, It's time to take a break to thank today's sponsor before we get to the rest of the news. And if you want to look as smooth and hairless as John Cena, nobody makes it easier than Henson Shaving. Henson Shaving is a family-owned aerospace parts manufacturer that has made parts for the International Space Station and Mars Rover. And now they are bringing precision engineering to your shaving experience. Razor blades are like diving boards. The longer the board, the more wobble. The more wobble, the more nicks, cuts, and scrapes. A bad shave isn't a blade problem, it's an extension problem. By using aerospace-grade CNC machines, Henson makes metal razors that extend just 0.0013 inches, which is less than the thickness of a human hair. That means a secure and stable blade with a vibration-free shave.
But wait, it gets better. The razor has built-in channels to evacuate hair and cream, which makes clogging virtually impossible. Seriously, Henson Shaving, they want the best razor, not the best razor business. That means no plastic, no subscriptions, no proprietary blades, and no planned obsolescence. The Henson razor works with standard, dual-edged blades to give you that old-school shave with the benefits of new-school tech. Once you own a Henson razor, it's only about $3 to $5 per year to replace the blades. Honestly, this razor is great. It is infinitely reusable, it gets the job done very well, and you're not contributing to more plastic pollution in the process. Also, the handle has a good weight to it. It feels very substantial. It's also ridiculously cheap to refill over time. And it's always fun to reject modernity and embrace tradition.
It's time to say no to subscriptions and yes to a razor that'll last you a lifetime. Visit hensonshaving.com/ITDaily to pick the razor for you and use code ITDaily and you'll get 2 years worth of blades free with your razor. Just make sure to add them to your cart. That is 100 free blades when you head to hensonshaving.com/ITDaily and use code ITDaily. Check them out if you're looking for a good shave. Supporting our sponsors means supporting this show.
Mm-hmm. And back to the news now. And not to bring all the fun energy down. We'll try to leave at least one story at the end to lighten the mood a little bit. But we should probably talk about the fact that a whistleblower who worked at Boeing for 32 years and was in the middle of testifying against the company was found dead as the result of an apparent suicide. And we are sure that you're all aware, but Boeing has not been having a great couple of years. The issues have been stacking up more and more recently as well, but things really started to go awry when two of their 737 MAX jets crashed within a few months of each other after flight control problems that appeared to stem from something called an MCAS, or Maneuvering Characteristics Augmentation System. Boeing grounded all the 737 MAX aircraft for a while, and then more recently there have been a string of incidents, like the door blowing off, a wheel falling off, various reports of planes randomly losing altitude, all very unnerving. And people have been quick to point out that this all might be the result of Boeing putting shareholder value above safety.
Yeah, I mean, this is, say what you will about the U.S. aerospace industry and their connections to the military-industrial complex, but Boeing, if nothing else, for nearly a century has been, the standard bearer in quality.
Yes.
Like, you get on a Boeing plane and you're like, okay, these people know what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah.
Now not so much, which is very odd, and it would seem to indicate some sort of decline in quality control.
Still statistically an anomaly, but yeah. Enough happening to make you wonder.
Yeah. So cut to Monday of this week, and in the midst of providing testimony against his former employer, John Barnett apparently decided that this was when he would be taking his own life.
Yeah.
Here's BBC News with more. John Barnett had worked for Boeing for 32 years until his retirement in 2017. In the days before his death, he had been giving evidence in a whistleblower lawsuit against the company. Boeing said it was saddened to hear of Mr. Barnett's passing. The Charleston County coroner confirmed his death to the BBC on Monday. It said the 62-year-old had died from a self-inflicted wound on the 9th of March, and police were investigating. In 2019, Mr. Barnett told the BBC that under-pressure workers had been deliberately fitting substandard parts to aircraft on the production line. He also said he had uncovered serious problems with oxygen systems, which could mean one in four breathing masks would not work in an emergency. He said soon after starting to work in South Carolina, he had become concerned that the push to get new aircraft built meant the assembly process was rushed and safety was compromised, something the company denied.
He later told the BBC that workers had failed to follow procedures intended to track components through the factory, allowing defective components to go missing. He said in some cases, substandard parts had even been removed from scrap bins and fitted to planes that were being built to prevent delays on the production line. He also claimed that tests on emergency oxygen systems due to be fitted to the 787 showed a failure rate of 25%, meaning that one in four could fail to deploy in a real-life emergency. Mr. Barnett said he had alerted managers to his concerns, but no action had been taken. Boeing denied his assertions. However, a 2017 review by the U.S. regulator, the Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, did uphold some of Mr. Barnett's concerns. After retiring, he embarked on a long-running legal action against the company. He accused it of denigrating his character and hampering his career because of the issues he pointed out, charges rejected by Boeing. At the time of his death, Mr. Barnett had been in Charleston for legal interviews linked to that case. Last week, he gave formal deposition in which he was questioned by Boeing's lawyers, before being cross-examined by his own counsel. He had been due to undergo further questioning on Saturday. When he did not appear, inquiries were made at his hotel. He was subsequently found dead in his truck in the hotel car park. And look, we know it's already a heavily conspiracy-themed episode today, but goddamn, I mean...
Yeah, no, he literally, they found him because he still had more testimony to give.
Yeah.
And they're like, where is he?
He didn't show up, yeah.
And it's, yeah, it is just odd that if you've spent several years on this kind of legal crusade, that you would decide to end your life right as things are really picking up. Mm-hmm. But, you know, on the other hand, it's also absurd to imagine that Boeing would,
orchestrated an would have a guy assassinated. Yeah, that is also it's highly unlikely.
Yeah, it's...
It's just bizarre timing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't... It's very suspicious, yes. But just very bizarre.
Again, Occam's razor probably... dealing with the stress of his career ending and then being going in front of Boeing's lawyers and probably bringing stuff up that makes him an unreliable source or something in their view. It's a very high pressure situation. So not saying this is a conspiracy, it's just fucking bizarre timing.
Yeah, well, hopefully the case continues without him.
Yes.
Because, obviously... there are issues with this company that need to be addressed.
And not to mention it is just another bizarre happenstance thing, but in retrospect, it is weird that the guy who ran that submarine company was so gung-ho about being like, yep, boom, made with Boeing parts.
Yeah, well.
Solid construction.
It sounds like they were fucking up the plane so much they probably had a lot of extra material lying around.
Yeah. Anyways, it's always hard to switch to a different story after something heavy like that, so let's talk about something that's not sad or not funny. It's just kind of sucks, because everyone's favorite CEO, Bobby Kotick, who, in many people's opinions, ruined Activision Blizzard before completing his goal of just selling it off to someone else, he is interested in taking over TikTok once the U.S. government forcibly takes it away from parent company ByteDance.
Oh, good.
And put your conspiracy hat back on, because that's a hell of a way for the government to ultimately destroy the company without making it too obvious.
Yeah, no, TikTok can keep going, just you won't even notice a difference. The only difference will be behind the scenes, because now instead of being run by these professionals...
We're giving it to
Bobby Kotick, who obviously has a great track record for, you know...
Running
companies and putting out products that people love.
Yeah, the only way that this could be more obvious or worse, if that were the true conspiracy behind it, is if they got David Zaslav to take over. Like, you're selling Warner Brothers soon, right? You're ready to take on a new challenge?
We deleted all of your posts so we could write them off on our taxes.
Yes, David Zaslav, king of taking money from the IRS. Anyways, here's Engadget with more on this theoretical acquisition of the social media giant.
Bobby Kotick, the former CEO of Activision Blizzard, who stepped down at the end of last year, is apparently interested in buying TikTok as a new bill in the U.S. threatens to ban the app or force its sale. According to a report by the Wall Street Journal, Kotick mentioned the idea of partnering on such a purchase to OpenAI CEO Sam Altman and others seated with him at a conference dinner last week, and brought it up with ByteDance executive chair Zhang Yiming. If TikTok is sold, the Wall Street Journal notes, it would likely go for hundreds of billions of dollars. Kotick's alleged interest in TikTok comes at a tumultuous moment for the immensely popular platform after lawmakers introduced the Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act. What does that stand for?
PAFACA?
PAFACA.
They didn't do a good job on that one.
Why are you going to use so many words and not come up with
an acronym?
Yeah. Which President Biden said he would sign if it passes. Under the bill, which goes to the House floor on Wednesday for a vote, TikTok's China-based parent company, ByteDance, would have to sell the app within 6 months. Otherwise, it'll be banned from U.S. app stores.
And with all the other sort of serious conspiracies in this episode, I love the idea that the U.S. government is coordinating with Bobby Kotick to destroy the company from the inside.
It's very clever. It's
Nobody
evil.
Can run these companies into the ground like our best and brightest CEOs.
Yeah. They should give it to Helios and Matheson Analytics.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Oh, man. Or fucking the WeWork guy, Adam Newman.
Oh, Adam Newman
would
do
great
with
work,
this.
Yeah. Awesome. Anyways, we do have... now that we have our buffer story out of the way, it's time to ruin this episode's chances at being properly monetized by talking about jizz. jizz trees, that is.
Oh, the ones that smell like cum?
The trees that smell like semen, Elliot. That's
yeah,
right.
They're back, baby.
They are an invasive species that must be removed. And the state of Missouri is actually going to help you remove your jizz trees by offering you a replacement non-jizz smelling tree after you prove that you cut down your tree that smells like jizz.
Hey, that's awesome.
Yeah. And we are somehow not joking. And this is real. I triple checked this. There's many stories of people like posting photos of these trees and going, hey, why does the tree in front of my house smell like cum?
Oh, yeah, no, it's been a long running thing. I remember even as a kid, it was like, there's the cum tree.
Mm-hmm. So apparently these are invasive trees known as calorie pears that, according to very many people who have experience in smelling lots of cum, smell exactly like semen. I wasn't aware of this, but apparently this isn't even the first time a city has offered its residents new trees or monetary incentives.
No, they should be doing this. This country is filled with invasive trees. The big one here in LA, not to go off on a tangent, but this tree called Ailanthus, better known as the Tree of Heaven, is absolutely, my backyard was filled with them. It took me like a year to remove and kill them off. Mm-hmm. And they still probably this summer will try to come back, but once I had no idea what this tree was. Once I learned about it, I started seeing them fucking everywhere, like on the edge of every freeway and stuff. I'm like, this is a huge problem because, like, right now it's just annoying, but they are the carrier for the the Eastern Lanternfly or something like that, which is like once you've got those, then you've got a big fucking problem. And I'm just driving around seeing these things constantly. I'm like, am I the only person who's like worried about this? Seems bad.
It's like the mustard plant where it's like from a distance, like, oh, beautiful. And you get up close, and it's literally just ruining every part. It's all over everything.
Yeah.
And you can't just, like, go cut it down, because then it just spreads more.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, here's the Riverfront Times with this most recent initiative. And, yeah, they do provide links to the official state webpage, so you can get actual official information on this. It is legit.
Yeah.
So here you go, especially if you live in Missouri. Chop down your cum tree.
Have you ever walked down your street and wondered where that god-awful semen smell was coming from? Wait, what?
This is in their reporting.
Ew, come! It's the calorie pear trees, the bane of our spring existence. If you hate them, you're in luck. The Missouri Invasive Plant Council, Forest Relief of Missouri, Forest Killing Nursery, and the Missouri Department of Conservation will literally reward you with a new tree for cutting down a calorie pear tree from your property with a buyback program. Registration for the program starts next week, and St. Louisans, is that what they call themselves?
I guess.
St. Louisans who complete event registration will receive a Missouri native tree in place of the jizz-smelling one on April 23rd. As we prepare for spring, many calorie pear trees, also known as Bradford pears, are already beginning to bloom. Carol Davitt, chair of the Missouri Invasive Plant Council, said in a statement.
She went, they're blooming.
Mm. The profuse white blossoms of this highly invasive tree make their alarming spread especially apparent this time of year along roadsides, in fields, parks, and on private property. They're honestly like a toxic relationship, beautiful with their flourishing white flowers, but all too ready to smack you in the face with the smell of cum without even asking permission. Registration for destruction of these trees is open from March 15th through April 15th. Those registering will choose their location, select a tree, upload the photo of the recently deceased calorie pear tree, and then on April 23rd receive one free, non-invasive native tree that hopefully smells better. And yeah, this is awesome. Also, your local government probably gives away free trees in some sort of program.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they don't advertise this shit at all, but, like, at least in L.A., they're like, this place is a polluted hellscape. We should probably just give people trees for free. Mm-hmm. And if they want one, they can just take them. And, it's nice. You should look into that.
And finally today, we're not going to go too far into this next story because you should just go read the article in full. It's just funny that an outlet has done an entire essay on what exactly gooning is. And we've already risked monetization with naked John Cena and cum trees, so we're going to let you go discover this one on your own, but we will leave a link in the description below to Mashable's very important article titled, What is Gooning? Breaking Down the Hypnotic Goon State of a Masturbating Nation.
You don't need to read this. Go watch John Wilson's season 3 episode, I don't remember, but the guy explains gooning succinctly in about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
But I do want to read just one part of it because it is hilarious to hear a doctor talk about where he thinks the term originated. So here you go. Dr. Ty David Lerman, PhD, a psychotherapist, hypnotherapist, and certified sex therapist, tells us that gooning gets its name from our favorite spinach-eating sailor of yesteryear. The term is a nod to the goons of early Popeye the Sailor cartoons, which depicted henchmen who were not very smart and seemingly single-task oriented. And modern-day gooners certainly are single-task oriented, with that task being beating their meat.
I don't think that's what it comes from, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what it comes... Is it like a something awful thing? Because they call themselves goons on that message board. Does that have a connection?
I think they go into it further in here, but the term has been used in this way since at least back in 2017 or 2018.
Oh, wow. People have been gooning amongst us for that long?
Yeah. Well, so they go into it, but the difference between... God, we shouldn't even talk about it. There is a difference between edging and gooning.
Oh, yeah, no, it's very, very
different.
They
clarify in there. And it's almost meditative in a way.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyways, monetization down. Like the video. Make sure you leave a like, leave a comment about your favorite conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
And make sure you're subscribed. In the meantime, if you want more content, we have plenty for you. We have weekly weird news about how Sydney Sweeney's boobs have cured wokeness.
Thank God.
And also, if you want more on that TikTok being banned story, we have a recent episode of News Dump. Check both of those out. Leave your comments below. We'll see you soon.
Bye.